Here, we're going to go off stage, and then you can introduce us, and then we'll be able to enter to applause, and we'll feel important.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are doing our 300th episode live at Die Laughing 2018. We take questions from the audience. We take questions from online because we're super generous that way.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Well, welcome to Geeks Without God. We are live at Die Laughing 5. And this, thank you very much, and this is our 300th episode.
300.
300. 300 in a row. In a row?
We have not missed a week.
Never missed a week.
Consecutive.
Despite
Tuesdays.
Despite flu, despite grief, despite inclement weather.
Painkillers.
All sorts of painkillers.
Painkillers, yeah. Super drunk at Convergence, super drunk at OmegaCon. never missed a week.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Somehow we just keep talking. I don't understand how that works. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, of course, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Live.
And we are joined by an audience of geeks or atheists or comedians or just people who are like, whatever, it's a 50-hour comedy marathon and I'm going to sit in here and let these people answer questions.
Because there's room for dozens of people in here, and that's what we've got.
We've at least a dozen, or perhaps a half dozen, maybe a baker's dozen. I don't know. But the thing is, what we're going to do today, we are going to answer any questions that anybody wants to ask us. Now, we have opened it up to online so people can tweet to us. If you're watching us online, you can tweet at us. You can ask us a question. We've got a Facebook post specifically for it. And you can use the hashtag GWG300. This is Geeks Without God.
I've got the Facebook post open.
So I'm just hosting, so I'm not doing any
and
of
Molly
these things.
Molly has the Twitter open.
There's one other post using that hashtag from April 2013, and all it says is hashtag GWG300.
So that's,
I don't know what it is.
I assume it's
so I stole it.
We're stealing.
So for the audience, of course, we're going to remind you there's a microphone up at the front of the audience. We need you to walk up to that microphone if you have a question so that we pick you up on the board mix. And you will, of course, turn up on the actual podcast when it airs in a couple of days. Obviously here, everybody can hear you. But why don't we start, since I don't see anybody walking up to the microphone yet, why don't we start?
Yeah.
Because we have a few questions.
We do.
On our Facebook post.
We have a question from fearless member Dave Rand McKay.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Yes.
It's a two-parter.
The first question is, when did you first learn you were without God?
Okay.
That's the first question.
Oh,
can just do them one at a time. Yeah.
Okay.
When did you first learn that you were without God? A non-believer. We'll say maybe not full on atheist, but when did you first decide or realize?
I actually wrote about this in a book of essays, when I learned it, I was in camp, and I was, I think, about 10 years old. YMCA camp. Super gaudy. Anyway, I was a nerd, and a bunch of kids were teasing me. And I remember I was like behind one of the cabins crying, and one of the counselors came up to comfort me. And what she did was she told me that I shouldn't cry because no matter what these other kids said, I was special in God's eyes. And it bugged me because that just didn't make any sense. What she was more concerned about was telling me how God felt about me instead of finding out who the fuckers were that was making fun of me, and doing something about it. And it was like this gut thing that it was just like, when she said it, I'm like, no, that doesn't make any logical sense. And that's, even though it took me a long time to really come to the conclusion that I was an atheist, I think that was the moment at which I really rejected that idea. It just took me a long, I mean, intellectually, it took me a long time to get there, but I've always felt like that's the point where I rejected God as
Nick,
an idea.
What about you?
If I had to put like an exact, I don't think there was an exact moment when it was like, aha, nothing. But I think somewhere, I know I was bullied and picked on a lot in like middle school, and I remember thinking, like, think, hope, praying to have an easier time or to change myself or for whatever. And it was so hollow and so fruitless that I think that was when it was like, nah, nothing though. Like if I could be in this much pain and get nothing despite, you know, pleas or anything like that, then nothing probably. But I think it was never like an all at once. It wasn't like a binary switch got flipped. It was like a death by a thousand cuts where, you know, if you had asked me at 10 years old whether or not I believed in God, there's probably a good chance I would have been like,
Yeah, there's a definite place in my brain where I remember breaking with Christianity versus the concept of there being anything. But the break with Christianity came when I was 11. My two best friends were two guys, and they were both Jewish. And I remember my father, who was a born-again Lutheran to cleanse his soul of his bigamy, decided to lecture me for a long time about how you have to accept Jesus or you don't go to heaven, and because I didn't want to go to church. And he's like, if you don't go to church, you don't go to heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? And started crying. Like, if you don't go to heaven, you won't be with me or your mom or anything else. And like, I was like, well, hold on. Cause David and Noah don't believe in Jesus. Were they not going to go to heaven? He's like, not if they don't believe in Jesus, if they don't accept him as the Son of God and become Christians. I'm like, well, that's dumb. They didn't get to choose. Like they're both, you know, like, that's what their parents chose for them. He's like, well, then they have a choice now. And that's the point. If they don't choose, then they're going to go to hell. You should probably talk to them about that. I'm like, I think that sounds really dumb. That doesn't make any logical sense. And I was very frustrated by the illogicalness of two good kids who, if they changed nothing and still were good kids, were going to burn in an eternal flame. And that's when I was like, nah.
Just
nah,
like the three of us.
I can't believe in any, non-logical God.
Okay, it looks like we do have a question, so why don't we... unless it follows from that first question.
It does, it does. It's, when did you first learn you were a geek?
Oh.
Which I think is an easy answer, too.
Ah,
for me, I can go first. Yeah, I knew when my mom told me I needed more friends. And because she was a cheerleader, was popular-ish, you know, especially in high school. And she was just very concerned that I didn't have enough friends. And I didn't think I needed them because I was super happy playing by myself and doing my own weird stuff. And when I talked about dinosaurs and cats at my family one year, I remember like I spent an entire summer pretending to be a cat or a dinosaur, depending. And no one got it. No one cared about my cat encyclopedia. No one wanted to sit and hear all the cat facts I knew. And I think that was when I realized that most people didn't do that.
You know, it's funny that it's kind of that same time period as the last question, but I do remember like late elementary or early middle school when we'd have like free time to do an activity of our choosing. My activity of my choosing was like, sweet, I'm going to crack open this Lord of the Rings book and like dig in to where I'm left off at home. And people were like, we could go run around and play a game. It's like, no, book though. Like, oh, we could play this board game if you don't want, if you just, you know, want to not be outside and active. It's like, no, but book though.
But my own company.
and right. And then it was like, it went very quickly at some point from, oh, you'd prefer to have this fictional world than the real world, to, hey, let's pick on that guy for choosing fictional world over real world. And it was like, yeah, that'll not push me totally into escapism further.
Yeah, he's
like,
trying to escape reality. Get him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think,
let's show him what reality's all about.
And now, like in retrospect, it tying like a nerd or geek identity to this kind of like we've been excluded from society part of the geek identity kind of bothers me a little bit more now that I've had time to think about it. But that is at the same time where I kind of pin that on myself.
You know, I don't have a good answer for this question. I think there was never a point where I really realized I was a geek. I think there was a point where I realized I was a nerd. And I think it was around the time I watched Revenge of the Nerds. I'm like, oh, yeah, Okay.
I'm the guy in that house.
I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm that guy, and this is serious fiction.
They basically become Devo, Tim, so obviously they're the cool one.
It's pretty
they're
awesome. Cool
so, when did I know I was a nerd? When everyone told me over and over all through fifth grade.
That's pretty much when. So that's my answer. I think we do have a question
we
in
do.
The audience.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Eric Knight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. So I'd like to ask three really quick questions because it's one for each of you.
Uh-oh.
All right. Hi.
Nick, what is your favorite rap album? For Molly, what is your favorite Led Zeppelin album? And for Tim, whose favorite movie is Raiders of the Lost Ark, from that film, what is your favorite scene or moment?
Oh.
The most recent Run the Jewels album is my favorite rap album. All of their albums, there's three so far, really hold up, like top to bottom. You can listen through a whole CD, MP3s, whatever. You can listen to the whole album, like front to back. Everything's good on them. But the most recent one was like, it's going to come out in January. And then it came out like 3 days before Christmas, which is great because they have a song that's a Christmas fucking miracle.
Yeah.
And so like it was a Christmas fucking miracle, which was great. But it was, I've seen them twice live since then. And they've mostly done the new stuff, but some of the older stuff too. And it's just so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay, so the my end. Answer to Eric's question could be almost any scene in the movie because I know that movie and I love every scene. But I think because I've talked about why when I did Joseph Scrimshaw's Obsessed podcast about Rage of the Lost Ark, the thing that really hit me about that movie is the moment when you transition from Indiana Jones, the badass archaeologist running through the cave, getting the golden idol, running away from the people with the bows and arrows and stuff. And he flies away, and the next shot we see is Indiana Jones in a college writing on a blackboard, and he turns around, and he's wearing the professor's glasses and the tweed jacket, and it's just that recognition of this badass dude who is running around in the jungle is a nerd.
Yeah.
And as a nerd, having that as your hero was a really big moment for me. So that's my answer.
I like that.
So my favorite Zeppelin album is Led Zeppelin 1. And I think a big part of it, I had to think really hard. It's closely tied with 2 in my mind, but because the raw power of a 19-year-old Robert Plant is something that cannot be denied. And Jimmy Page was like out of nowhere with just fire guitar. And like his producer, like he would spend weeks in the studio fine tuning the balance and everything with the recording back when that mattered more because you had to do a lot more by hand. And Yes, they took a lot of blues songs. So you could say they stole a lot of stuff. I have no dog in that fight. You tell me what you think. I will listen. That's fine. But like, there's just some really amazing songs on that track. It starts out with Good Times, Bad Times, which is just a fantastic song. This 19-year-old who starts out with In the Days of My Youth, which is just like when you're 19, you feel so old already. So it's great. And there's a lot more songs on there that are really good. But ultimately, most of my favorite Zeppelin songs come from 1 and 2. Good question.
Awesome. Yeah. It looks like we have another audience member with a question.
Do.
Hi there.
Hi. This is actually from the YouTube stream.
Oh great.
Okay. And fun.
Dented Beetle would like to know, imagine that in your brain was a control panel a la Inside Out, which was run by characters throughout history, living or dead. Who would be running your control panel?
Son of a bitch.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Oh, man. Living or dead.
I'm going to jump on this grenade.
You jump on it. I'm
thinking. I got it. No, I can talk my way through this. All right. So I haven't seen Inside Out first, but I have a rough understanding of what the movie is. I think that...
It's Herman's Head, right?
It's Herman's Head.
Okay, great.
Which is also like accidentally a play I wrote before Herman's Head came out. It was very one of those like... what's that phenomenon where you write things at the same time?
Parallel
thought.
Yes, phenomenon.
So
I would say that the person who runs my anger is Jack Torrance from the book. And because that is that to me is the equivalent of like barely simmering rage that can boil over to irrational, like almost paranoid, delusional anger. My sadness would be.
Are we doing all five? I thought it was just one.
Is it just one?
I think it's just who's running our controls.
Did someone run the controls in Inside Out?
There's always like a dominant personality.
Oh, a dominant personality. Yeah. That's not anger for me at all.
Okay.
So that would be. It's fictional characters only.
Yeah.
So that person, I would say, running my main thing would be.
Well, no, I think they said living or dead. I don't think there's any specifics.
Characters throughout history, living or dead.
Real people throughout history, living or dead. So if there was going to be someone who runs my dominant personality trait, I'd say it's probably Kate McKinnon. Like, just goofy silliness, doing anything, wanting to make people laugh and not really caring if I look like any certain way, and giving as few fucks as possible, especially as I get older, I think that's what I would go
with.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So who runs the show?
I think this is very difficult because the further back you get in history, even when you get to people that are well-respected, they're assholes. but I think that I'm going to have to go with Steve Martin.
Ooh, good one.
In general, he's gotten more attractive as he ages, and I hope that maybe that'll happen with me. I mean, I figure... If you knew me when I was younger, I'm getting better. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just, yeah.
I've only seen the pencil drawing.
All right, anyway. But also I think that just he's gotten become a more thoughtful comedian as he's gotten older, but he still is wicked funny. And so that's Steve Martin. I'll go Steve Martin.
All right.
Jesus fucking Christ, you guys.
Jesus Christ, Nick.
No.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You know who guides Nick's everyday actions?
That's it. He's super frustrating because I don't do anything he says. No, I don't know. I can't.
Dr. Doom, Nick.
I can't think of it. It's historical.
Historical.
Also, no, because to
say
like...
Can we say Salazar Slytherin?
All right. I mean, maybe like I'm unrepentant Slytherin. Like, I don't feel bad about that. People can talk about how Slytherin are evil and all that shit anyway, but whatever.
God, I'm trying
Slytherin.
To think if you've ever.
I don't really.
We live in a fictional world more, like in terms of our where we spend the most thought time.
I don't really think I've ever had someone that I've read about historically that I've really empathized with and been like, oh, I feel that person's. Triumph or struggle or whatever as something like personal to me.
Or the way they behave, I feel like we would not like I feel like we'd be friends, but I feel like we are kindred spirits in that way.
I don't think I've ever really felt that way. So I have a rough time with this one. I don't know.
All right. All right. That's fair.
Nick Epstein's. All right.
We have another question.
My answer is I don't know.
So, mine is in regards to, obviously, like, trying to sell you guys on religion isn't something that's going to happen. Me, personally, I don't believe in God. But it's, do you guys acknowledge, like, the community factor within church and religion and, like, how that is something that is almost more of a structure than God for some religions in some factor? It's the God is just there in the corner, but it's really about us all being
community.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what was the question? What was the question?
Just more so that you guys acknowledge that that's a good
thing. Do we acknowledge that?
Do you agree with it more?
Yeah.
I'll agree, but I'll agree with the caveat that nothing about that is exclusive to religion.
Yeah,
there's nothing good that religion provides that can't be provided without it.
Yeah, I feel that a lot of the community, I think that... To me, the church that is mostly focused on community with God in the corner and not really being an issue is the outlier that is the corner case, really, and not trying to make a pun. Just generally, like, that is not the norm. More churches, I feel, yes, they provide community, but they expect something from you because of it, whether it's a tithe or a donation of your time or just, you know, that you're going to be praying. I don't know. So I get why people feel the need for that community, but I think there's ways to achieve it without cognitive dissonance, like Nick said.
I guess my answer is that since I was 17 years old, I've been involved in communities that aren't church, that have given me more than church ever did. Church simply bored me. I hated being there. I left the church long before I left religion just because I didn't want to be there. On the other hand, I've worked at the Renaissance Festival for 33 years. I've helped run a science fiction convention for 20 years. I've been on a podcast with these two awesome people for over 5 years. I've found community in ways that church never gave me a community. So I just don't, yeah. I don't accept yeah. that.
I've watched a lot of Community.
I see we have some questions in the audience, but we have some online questions.
Yeah, we're
going
to take some quick online question. So from Kevin McMahon, how do you feel about how the most famous TV atheists are portrayed? Sheldon Cooper, Dexter, Dr. Bones, among others.
Yeah, Dr. What's her name? Bones from Bones.
Bone Call.
Yeah.
Right. We've talked about the trope of brilliant science dick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like a Tony Stark.
Reed Richards
to some extent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a hard time portraying a brilliant person, and with that often comes atheism. Not to say that atheists are inherently more brilliant, but usually the inverse is true in fictional characters.
There tends to be some not sociopathy, but like pullback too, the dick part. Yeah,
it's
the dick part.
There aren't a lot of fictional atheists that are like super warm and compassionate people.
What a Mary Sue. Generally, they're antisocial. I mean, look at Dexter. Yeah, he's a serial killer who's managed to twist his serial killing for good, but still, Bones is a character that's always portrayed as very socially awkward.
Yeah,
her atheism is part of the social awkwardness, and it's frequently pointed out by her partner / boyfriend that she would be better off if she believed in God.
Yeah.
There are very few portrayals of atheists that make me happy.
So his second question is, what is the most over romanticized part of geek culture?
Doctor Who. I am not shitting on Doctor Who. I've watched a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I grew up watching like Tom Baker and K-9 on my dad's lap on PBS. We kind of stopped watching with the most
recent
Capaldi.
I was done with Moffat.
It had less to do with him and more to do with the people writing the show. But I feel like Doctor Who is not like a stellar good show. And I feel like most people that are Doctor Who fans acknowledge that it's schlocky and it's like cheesy and that's part of its charm. But like people talk about, oh, it's been on TV for like 50 or 60 years. And it's like, yeah, but it was off the air for 40 of those years. And like, or whatever it is exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like it's over, I don't know. If you go back and watch some old Doctor Who, like most people can't sit down and watch some old Doctor Who because it's rough.
Yeah, yeah. Tim?
Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think his stuff is all the same and it bores me. And I don't know. I just, meh.
I'm going to say that geeks have to be ostracized and bullied in order to count.
Yeah.
That kind of gatekeeping Nick alluded to earlier. I think that especially now, there's that sense of like, oh, these kids today, you know, they don't get what it was like when we were nerds and we got, you know, I got beaten up for having D&D books and like, yeah, everyone, you know, called me gay every day because I like reading comics and I didn't want to hang out with and play football or whatever. And it's like, I don't know why everyone's like, yeah, they didn't have to go through that, so they don't count. Yay for them. Why do we like?
We should be celebrating that we won.
Yeah. Like,
how great is it that you don't get beat up for reading comic books
anymore?
How
great is it like that kids, yeah, that there's so many kids and young teens wearing, like, doing cosplay and stuff. Like, you know, I remember my mom and others being really concerned about me because I was on Citadel BBS's talking to people online, and that was like so creepy and weird that I would do that rather than have regular friends. And now that's super normal. We all have friends that we only know online. And it's, I mean, yeah, Tim's right. We fucking won, man. Like,
everybody on the internet is arguing about whether or not Last Jedi is a good film instead of going, why the fuck do you like that
Who
film?
Who saw, what's Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They know. Yeah. Oh, they know
they
now.
Know.
Yeah.
So we have line in the audience. So okay. Yeah.
This is a question to what would you pick? So if you had a choice of one of the three following items, which would you choose?
Ooh.
To have a partner or companion for the rest of your life, unlimited lives that you would live forever,
ooh,
or unlimited use of a time machine, which would you pick?
Do I have to die and then get reborn, or am I immortal?
Immortal.
Okay.
Is it perfect immortality, or do we age?
It's an important question.
It matters.
You get to choose.
You choose.
Oh, we choose. So we have we have like an ability to glamour or not. Okay.
Immortality.
I feel like I can't cop out and say companion because I've got Nick and I'm assuming he's not gone. So, oh boy.
Time travel, boy, man.
Time travel. Can I go in the future? Is it nonsensical time travel? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're just going to fuck things up so
this
bad,
really,
though.
Yeah, this is
immortality.
Really difficult.
Yeah, immortality, because like I feel like as an atheist, one of the main things that we focus on is this is all we've got, this one life, and there's nothing after. So if I never have to worry about losing what I've got here, that sounds pretty cool.
But if you had immortality and no one else around you did.
Sure.
That is
I'm alone a lot, friend. I don't know if you...
that's the monkey's paw of the whole arrangement. But yeah.
Just read books.
I've got... you know, as a parent, that's difficult to think about, you know, my kids growing up and dying and my grandkids, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But you get to know them all.
At the same time, I've always said that the thing that disappoints me most about the concept of death is that I always want to know what's next. And I would not know what's next. So I guess I've got to go with immortality because that's important.
Would you age? Would you choose to age?
No.
I'd want to stop at like 50.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to go, I think once, you know, hit 50 or maybe a little bit older, but probably like 50 and then I'd
But
I'd
I also don't want
stop.
It to be like death becomes her immortality.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, yeah. I think that's kind of weird. I don't think you're going to have a hole in your center. That's going to freak out your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids.
When the sun swallows up the earth, if space travel hasn't been...
Oh, yeah, we'll totally get to see the end of the Earth, too.
Yeah, but that would kill you, I think. I mean,
well,
I feel like...
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Sweet.
Are we done?
Death,
I think
we're
done.
Nick, did you go? Did you say immortality?
Immortality
across the board. Yeah. Thank you very much for that question.
Thank you. That's
a
great question.
If you want a button or a...
If you ask a question.
Or at the end,
what's up? What's up, Nathan Gerber, friend of the show?
Hello.
Hi.
I have a serious question.
Damn you.
I'm sorry, because I do this to you all the time.
No, we love it.
Do you think that hate groups, whether religious or not, should have freedom of speech in our country?
First Amendment freedom of speech like remove the hate speech requirements?
No. First Amendment. So you can say whatever you want, but you can be fired for it.
But the hate speech things are still in play. Like, you still can't.
So there are already many limitations to our rights as dictated in the Constitution. The Supreme Court has already said that it's legitimate and constitutional to put restrictions on the Second Amendment. That's why you can't own like grenade launchers and shit. I think that the thought that it's just a marketplace of ideas and everyone should be able to say whatever they want without consequence, and then people will make the right decision and find the right ideas and those will float to the surface and the shitty ones will go down is really, really wishful thinking. I'm not saying that everyone should be constantly censored, but I will say that I read a very convincing argument the other day that I'm still thinking about that said that the ACLU is basically Nazi sympathizers, not exclusively or just Nazi sympathizers, but by constantly protecting the rights of people to say that they wish to enact genocide. They are, whether it's their goal or not, they're Nazi sympathizers, and I can't really argue against that.
I believe that the First Amendment is very important because I think most people fucking misunderstand what the First Amendment is. I have a very strong opinion that the government should not be allowed to put you in jail or otherwise censor or fine you for saying whatever you want. And we do have hate speech limitations on there, sure. But when most people bitch about how their First Amendment rights are being violated, what they mean is Twitter took away their post or they got fired because they said the N-word on Facebook. And it's like, yeah, dumbass. Like you can't, like this, the First Amendment isn't you're an American consequence free for anything you say. So I am a firm believer in the First Amendment. I'm also a firm believer in people learning what the fuck the First Amendment is and isn't.
Yeah. I believe in free speech. I do not believe in consequence-free speech. And I think that's a very important distinction. If you say something awful, and awful things happen to you, that's a consequence.
Yeah, you get to say what you want, and I get to turn all the powers of my vilification tennis ears at you.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just
so a good example on this is hate speech isn't actually protected by the First Amendment,
right.
But the definition for hate speech is very narrow. So, but hate speech isn't protected speech. Just like you can't, you know, like shout fire in a theater, like things like that that cause harm or
unless the theater's actually on fire.
Oh, you can't you?
Right, right.
Come see Westpools.
So I feel like I'd be okay with us expanding the definition of hate speech. Mm-hmm. I would be okay with that because hate speech isn't covered by the First Amendment.
Can we just add two words? Tommy Lahren. Thank you. That's great. A good question.
But otherwise, I dig.
Okay, we have some online questions.
We do. From Chelsea Oakey. What's something that non-atheists say about atheism that makes you laugh the most? We've had this question in our five questions for a while, so we got a lot of opinions, but I know that for me, it's makes me laugh, also chills me to the bone, the whole, like, what if there isn't a God telling you what you should or shouldn't do? What stops you from just raping and murdering everyone you see? It's like, my conscience, what stops you?
That Penn Jillette quote, I rape exactly as much as I want.
It's zero.
Zero.
I kill everybody I want to kill.
Yep. None.
Yeah.
I'm always amused by the atheism is just another religion statement.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, actually, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. And if you say that, what you're doing is trying to insult me by saying that I'm like you. And that doesn't feel like you've proven anything or solved anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the atheism is just another religion thing.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. Sure.
That's just
let me go run that by the atheist pope that doesn't exist. Like, yeah.
That's right. Just like an I give up. I don't have anything useful to say, so I'm going to say this.
Yeah. Do we have any more here? Yeah, great. Hello.
Hi. My question is, what are you the most afraid of?
Oh, spiders.
Really?
Here's the thing. I don't usually talk about this. And actually, I don't ever talk about it on Facebook, but I hide all of your spider posts. I hide your post if it says spider, because people are probably going to post pictures. They terrify me in a true phobia way that paralyzes me when I see them. If I can kill them, I can do so by only screaming and like a Valhalla war cry, like it's me or him. But we have a pact. If it's outside, I move. If it's inside, they die.
Yep. Our turf, their turf.
Yeah. Yep.
Molly dying.
Aww. It's because I do all the banking stuff.
Before me. Molly dying before me. Molly dying after me, not so worried. Molly dying before me, worried.
Fish.
Yeah, he's fish. Not lying.
I'm
we
not
talked
lying.
About this recently.
I'm not lying. It's fish, and it's all fish. It's like fish in a fucking fish tank. Little fucking guppies. Scare the shit
live
out of
fish.
Me.
Yeah. I would like to point fish. Out, Tim and I also don't want our spouses to die.
Yeah, I don't want my spouse to die either, but I'm not afraid of it.
I guess I just don't want you to die more than I don't like spiders. That's all.
That's fair.
All I'm
that's fair. Yeah.
I think we have an online person with a question again. Is that right?
Oh yes. Is that
no? I mean, yeah, like yeah, the YouTube commenter.
Yeah. Yes. And this is from our friend Tom St.
Hi Tom.
I sing in a church choir, and even though I grew up in church, I feel uncomfortable reciting things like the Nicene Creed.
Nicene Creed, yeah.
Okay. I'm a little scared someone will call me out. Have any advice? And there's a follow-up to that. Any advice on not feeling awkward in my choice to not be disingenuous and profess something I don't believe?
Any advice? Do they notice? No, they don't. They really don't. Everybody in that church assumes you believe the same thing you do.
Yeah, if you paying lip service.
You believe the same thing they do, excuse me.
Yeah, you paying lip service is something that's between, you know, you and the nothing that is God. And so, like, in that way that, you know, I don't say prayers when I have to attend church services. We were all recently at a good friend's funeral, and you know, when they were saying prayers or singing the hymns, I didn't sing or speak because I didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do. But I've done it before if there was someone who was going to give me grief for it. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's also, you know, church choir is one of the few choirs. It's hard to find a choir that's not religious.
I've said that one of the reasons I won't perform a religious marriage if I'm officiating is because why would you want me to say something that's a lie to me, but like is super important and serious and real right. to you? Like that feels super disingenuous and maybe even disrespectful. And so if you're choosing to participate in the singing and the spirit of it and all that without the religious belief component, then I feel like it doesn't matter if someone notices or calls yeah. you out or anything about it, because if they did, you could very easily say that, like, I'm here to celebrate and perform with you and be a part of this, and it's not religious for me, but I understand that it is for you. And anyone who would give you any flack over that is a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, it's none of their business.
Well, and, and Tom, they're singing, and the difference with your thing is, you know, you're officiating, you're actually performing the ceremony. That if they want that to be religious, I'm, you know, we have the same agreement there. We just I won't do it because I'm not doing what you want. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I understand the uncomfortability. If you're in a church and everybody is expected to say amen at the end of a prayer and you don't, that. And I don't. If I'm in a church, I won't do it. I used to do it just out of a reflex more than anything else because I was raised in a Catholic church for the first several years of my life. But I've stopped doing it just because I'm lying. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it. It's wrong. And I need to be true to who I am. And who I am is somebody who doesn't believe in that. And so I'm not going to say
or
it.
Or someone that likes yeah. singing. That's my, I mean, yeah.
So yeah, my advice to them is you know, really just be, if you're comfortable enough with singing along, because the singing is more important to you than the words, and I think that's fine. It's your own choice. And if you're uncomfortable with it, then, you know, maybe it's time to try to find another choir.
That's a good thought.
We have some answers. We have another question. Oh,
and we do have an audience, but why don't we take
yeah.
We'll do one from Facebook quick. And then from the audience.
Another one from Chelsea Oakey. How many geeky TV shows are you watching right now, and which ones?
So many.
So let's say which ones are your
Can
standouts.
Can I just say I want to be watching all of them, and I'm currently not really watching any of them?
Nothing? There's nothing you watch on any regular-ish basis?
Well, Pat and I were watching, and it's not geeky. We're watching Grace and Frankie right now, which is really funny, but it's a sitcom about 2 70-year-old women whose husbands leave them for each other. And it's really sweet.
And they've been friends for like 50 years.
They've been friends for like 50 years.
Couple friends.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's a sweet show, but it's not a geeky show. I'm part of the way through Jessica Jones season 2. I know that I said I'd watch the whole thing, but I haven't yet. Sorry. Peek behind the curtain.
Nick and I watch shows together. So, Nick, what are your standouts for the things we watch together these days?
People might disagree with me when I say Atlanta is a geeky show, but Atlanta is a super fucking geeky show. That's Donald Glover's show on FX, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
This last episode, Donald Glover plays a different character and doesn't break character the entire time, and it's a weird fucking surreal horror episode in the middle of this show about him trying to manage an up-and-coming rapper, and it's like they made an invisible car joke in one of the first few episodes that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Invisible car is geeky. That's
I would say quick rundown: Star Butterfly versus the Forces of Evil, or Star versus the Forces of Evil on Disney
good.
XD is a fantastic cartoon.
Yeah, I've been watching that with my kids.
Very funny. Obviously, Steven Universe, Adventure Time. Something that we've been watching that I don't know that a lot of people are also watching is I lost it, but one that a lot of people are watching, A Series of Unfortunate Events season 2 is really great. We watch so much TV, and I'm trying to think of what else.
A lot of TV.
If you haven't watched The Leftovers, go watch The Leftovers. It's finished and it's amazing. I'm excited for Westworld to come back.
See, Pat and I watch a lot of shows together, and she really prefers to watch like really brainless like crime dramas and stuff. And I like those, and they're fine, but I haven't. That means I haven't watched as many geeky shows. We're watching Taken, which is super dumb.
Sure.
Dumb. Oh, I wonder who's going to get taken this week.
Oh, they said it.
Oh, yeah, taken. Somebody got taken. Oh, now they got to rescue him.
The Expanse on Sci-Fi.
Oh,
please
yeah.
watch The Expanse so it doesn't get canceled. It's so good. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a musical, that show's insane. The Good Place is a really geeky and really good show. If you started and you're like, I don't think this is mine, watch until the end of episode 3. If that doesn't hook you, I don't know, but it's really great.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else? Santa Clarita Diet is a really crazy and bloody, gory comedy about a mom who just all of a sudden is dead and also alive. Yeah. Is she a zombie? Is she or just something. Undead? It's really cool. So do we have a question in the audience?
We do have a question.
Yay.
In the
Hi. Hey. Oh, it's Rebecca Hensler, friend of the show.
So you all have experience with Ren Faire.
Yes.
Is there any other place and time in history that you think it would be awesome to spend a few weeks pretending to live in?
Yes.
A few weeks.
I want Baroque festivals instead of Renaissance festivals, because then people could dress up like a pirate and it would be time appropriate and not like completely out of place. There could be like coffee shops, because like coffee shops was a thing that like all the Royal Society and the foundation of the scientific method and Isaac Newton and Leibniz and all those gentlemen, all those people, when they were doing all this thought, they were having all this cosmopolitan conversation in French salons and coffee shops, which were brand new things. And like the Renaissance is great and everything, but like the Baroque is like the Renaissance with a little bit of education and better hygiene. Like and actual pirates. I don't know. I'd be good with that.
I want to go back to ancient Greece, and I want to be a man when I do. Because like a lot of time travel is a bit problematic for me. It's kind of like, I mean, I want to go back there, but like, oh boy, I don't know if I want to be a woman at that time. So if I get to be a man and therefore have all, let's just say white man and have all the rights therein, that would be interesting in ancient Greece.
All those times sound cool, but I'm really a fan of flush toilets and people not throwing shit in the streets. So I actually
92.
I'd pick the late 1960s. I was technically alive, but I want to actually be able to watch the moon landing for real.
That's a
every
good point.
Weekend would be like Woodstock.
Yeah.
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 It'd be like laughing on stage and shit like that.
All right, I'll stay a woman, but I'll go to the 1920s. How's that?
Like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm going to soothe this voice the whole time. All right, we have more questions on Facebook. Once I can.
We do, and we're running out of time, so we got to try.
I've got a good one.
We got to try and fast.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah, in some wacky series of events, you just got elected Pope.
Oh,
how do you spend your short time in office before they realize what they did and depose you?
Oh.
I love that question.
My short Pope time. Now, I'm assuming that because I'm infallible in the voice of God, whatever I say sticks.
Well, until they kick you out and a new Pope says, actually.
First thing I do is take the list of child molesters he has and put them all in prison.
Yeah.
Or some church prison, which I'm sure they have. Or I don't know. Or execute him. I don't really care.
I would also publish the names of and defrock everybody who had anything to do with covering it up.
Yes, absolutely. That too.
Yeah.
It's just, and so then when Catholicism is gone,
well, and then, and
what's
then,
our next move?
Oh, okay.
I would ordain a gigantic pile of women.
I would, absolutely, yes. I'd get women into the clergy, punish all the child molesters and everyone that covered that up, and then I would play along and pretend to believe, because I would be in a seat of power to do amazing change, and that'd be great for a while.
Oh, I'd switch it. Sorry, go ahead.
I would turn the Catholic Church into an organization for just doing good.
I would donate all of the gold stuff. So, I would take all the gold and jewels and everything and be like, cool, all of this gets donated to the poorest, countries around the world, just the poorest populations.
Oh, and all
redistribute
the,
that wealth
all
real
the
fast.
Artworks
the stuff they can't get back.
all the artworks that like the Vatican stole from all the all these other countries, I would return them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then I would just for shits and giggles, I would make it so that going forward, when you elect popes, the black smoke is now the white smoke, and the white smoke is now the black smoke, just to make it all crazy.
Turn Vatican City into a socialist paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tickets for entry to the Vatican, like to Vatican City, make it like Disney World, and now you have to have a park hopper pass.
I think the other thing that would really help the Catholic Church, I would let priests get laid.
Let it happen. So one last question real quick from Kelly Jo Fredrickson. What religion or religious belief irks you the most?
Any type of bigotry that stems from religious belief is irksome.
Any religion that says that you can do like horrible things, and as long as you're really sorry and accept their savior, that you're going to go to their heaven.
Yeah,
I don't think Tim hates you the should crackers. Be able to do that because I believe a thing.
Yeah,
like,
Wait
a minute.
That's good. Like, blasphemy laws. Yeah, fuck blasphemy laws. Tim, what do you think? What's the worst?
Pick one.
What religion irks you most? Is it the incense? Is it the kneeling? Is it the garb?
Religion or
necklaces?
Religious belief?
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, yeah. What religious belief? Just them. Their belief in themselves.
How about like any sort of genital mutilation, just like any circumcision at all. Just that, like that's, we could just do away with all that.
All right.
Right.
One last one real quick.
Oh.
Okay. So between the three of us, we have invisibility, flight, or super strength. We each get to pick one and have it forever, but we can't claim the same thing. So if Nick chooses flight, no one else gets it. Invisibility, flight, or super strength. And I will say that Nick is the youngest. He gets to choose first, and then Tim and I can duke it out. I decide. I read the question.
As long as the invisibility is something I can turn on and off, I would pick invisibility.
All right. So, Tim, between flight and super strength, what
flight.
Do you want? All right. I was going to say super strength anyway, because I want to be Jessica Jones, and I'm working on the drinking problem.
I like to travel, and if I could fly, then I don't have to pay for airline tickets, and I can get wherever the fuck I want to go
also
really
the
quickly.
I probably shouldn't have invisibility. Like me having invisibility is such an ethical problem.
What if it's invisibility, but also like people can pass through you? What if you're a ghost?
Like, I'm just saying, all three of us are sitting on a stage talking about ourselves. None of us want invisibility. We want people to see us at all times.
Only sociopaths want invisibility.
And like, that's why I'm worried.
Did you not see those movies? Like, when you get invisibility, you become a sociopath because there's no, it's the whole, Plato had a whole thing on this.
I would do my damnedest to use invisibility for the powers of good.
That's what everyone thinks.
Or at least save all the bad stuff for people that deserve it. But like, I'm not going to lie, sooner or later, I'd end up like gaslighting the shit out of televangelists
or
something. Like,
watching someone sleep.
Is that evil? I don't know. Anyway,
it's unethical, at least.
All right. Well, we have reached the end of our time.
We've been Geeks Without God, and we've been unethical.
We want to thank everybody in the audience and everybody online who's asked us questions. This has been a great 300th episode. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll be listening to us in when we get to 600.
Yeah.
And stay here for Die Laughing. Remember, by the way, through tomorrow, they have a silent auction. You can bid on a guest spot on our podcast.
You could be up here.
I know.
Not in Tim's basement.
When I came in here, there were only two bids, and it was only
$15. Ooh,
and
$15.
We're worth way more than $15.
There's three of us, for fuck's sake.
We're super interesting. All right.
Come on up and grab a button or a sticker if you'd
like. Anyone in the audience, please.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
And enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
We didn't actually mention it on the air, but during the entire episode, I was dressed as a porg.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Yeah, girl.
Thank you for your questions.
All right, that's enough.